Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. These are days that the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. I like to say that on the radio because it's remarkable to me how the Holy Spirit works things out. When I go in His presence and when He teach me things and bring things to my remembrance, or when He give me instructions, I notice one thing that's always consistently true. He operates according to the vast love in His heart. And He thinks of everything. Even the things that I come across and didn't understand, He knew what I was going to come across. And he lets you see what's out there for yourself. He thinks of everything. And I love the way He prepares me for whatever it is I'm going to face. And I face some pretty interesting things along the years. And sometimes I didn't understand. Even I pray and ask Him, what in the world is going on? And why did this person act like this, or why did this happen, and why aren't they doing what I thought they should do, or things like that. And when he was silent, I grew even more curious. Remember, faith looks to God. I always endeavor to do exactly whatever it is He say according to His word and what He says and by the Holy Spirit. So when I say He's moving mightily by His Spirit, I don't say that lightly. I mean that every time I say it. And I've been saying it on the air for over 10 years. Almost every broadcast, I'm talking about how the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. And whenever whatever he brings to my attention, whatever He, as He trains me and He prepares me for the next step, it's interesting to me. And then when I face things I didn't know I was going to face, it makes me curious. But God is always faithful. He's faithful to His people. And what I'm about to share with you is things I learned over a couple of decades. And it may sound a little weird, but it happened. Jesus said, when your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And when I got called to the ministry, I really didn't know what all I would have to do. And like most men, I wanted to be ready for whatever I'd face. And I felt like the ministry is too important to just wing it. And I didn't want to rush out there into something and I didn't know what I was doing, because it's too important. And I believe that's why the Lord selected me to do this. When I saw that He would give me a message, that's when I got interested. Because I didn't want to be another minister to take ministry lightly. I didn't want to do what everybody else was doing. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. But I just didn't know how to do it. And I knew I didn't know how to do it. So in ministry, I always asked the Lord what to do. Especially when I thought I knew what to do. And I learned to do that. And here's why. I noticed that when He gives me a message, He thought He knew everything that He could have given me to say to a particular audience. He knew who was going to show up that day. And I believe sometimes He knew some people were intended to come. And I noticed that the Lord will give you things to say for people that may not have made it, because the enemy will try to keep people from hearing the heart of God. So I had to learn to do warfare and pray for people you know, I always prayed that the Lord will bless those to come that he intended to hear this message. And I would tell Satan he couldn't interrupt, because we have total authority over him. And you have to contend for those that can't contend for themselves. But what I learned was, the Lord, he evaluates everything. And then he'll give you a message that, you know, and he give you things that people can receive from you. And as he taught me more, I realized some people can't receive some things from me. But God loves his people, and he'll give people what they can receive from me. Ministry is, you're dealing with people. People have opinions. They believe all kinds of things. They believe, they think they're right, or sometimes they know they're not right, and sometimes they feel like some things that they do are right. They have opinions. They have feelings. They have thoughts. And the Lord knows how to deliver his message so that they can make a sober decision. So when you're looking to him, your whole being, your whole body will be full of light. That means that as you're looking to the Lord, you're steadily being purified, and your thoughts and intentions are word based, biblically based, and you want to do right by everybody. Now, if your whole being is full of light, your whole body is full of light, your influence, you take God and his word, and you have faith in it, and you live that way, that means your advice is going to be full of light. Your thinking will be full of light. Your heart's desire will be full of light. And your hatred against sin, you have that because you're full of light. As we learn God's ways, we learn to hate what's wrong. And sometimes people don't hate what's wrong. We know what's wrong, and we're willing to leave it alone, but we don't always hate it. Now, when I saw scriptures that talk about hating evil, I said, I need to make sure I hate these sins, not just avoid them, but I hate them. So Charles Capps used to talk about confessions a lot. And every way I want it to be, I study the Word of God in that area, like we talked about last broadcast. And then I took it to another level. I said, well, I hate pride. I hate lust. I hate the idea of stealing. And I like to watch action movies, but movies where they steal, I don't watch them. I don't like to see people take something that belongs to somebody else. And I hate pride. And I hate lust. So I govern what I see. I govern things that would cause you to take the wrong position. I don't want it. The more I say I hate it, the less I desire it. Confessions work good. I've got another example of what confessions will do. Now, I want to live a healthy life. As long as I live, I want to be able to do the things that I enjoy doing, such as work. I like to work. I like to work on cars. I'm a mechanic. I like to paint cars, fix, rebuild motors and transmission. I love to do these things. That's what I do. I'm passionate about it. And I'm happy doing those things. And I love to ride motorcycles, and I love to swim. Now, as long as I live on this planet, I don't care how old I get to be, I want to be in good health. So I use confessions to help me out. I started confessing that I crave what my body needs the most. And a new confession I'm going to use is, I just thought of this one during this broadcast. I hate what I don't need. I lose my taste for what I don't need, things that can hurt me. And I crave what I need the most. And I find myself naturally eating more fruit, more vegetables, more fish, and less pizza, less fried stuff, you know. Because when you confess something by faith, when you make a statement of faith, confessions, when I first heard the word confession, I thought about people telling their business, that confessing their sins to a Catholic priest. But listening to Charles Capps, confessions are hard statements of faith that you speak. They are statements of faith that you speak to protect your life. When he taught them, most people were believing God for promotions on jobs, houses, cars, money, things that they deeply desire, you know, and that's how it was presented. But in ministry, I wanted to do the heart of God's will. So I would confess that I obey God. I love God. I love His people. I love His wisdom. I love His word. I love His ways. I would confess these things until they became a part of who I am. So when I study the word, I quickly receive it so that I can live by it. You know, a Baptist preacher told me one time, a wise Baptist preacher, he said, when you plant a cedar tree, it stays small for a long time. He said, the roots grow, they grow down deep until they strike water. And once they strike water, then they grow up tall. Now, he gave me this analogy because in the spirit, that's how it ought to be. When I make confessions of faith so that I can agree with the word of God in areas where I used to be weak or indifferent, my roots are growing deep in the Lord. And then I can turn around and grow up tall. In the parable of the sower, the seed that was sown among stones, the seed that was sown among stones, they grew up quickly, but when the sun come up, they withered away. And some Christians, they don't grow deep roots. They don't get a good grip of the word of God. And when they're challenged, they release it. So in order to be prepared to stand in faith no matter what, you have to grow deep roots. You have to have, no soldier can fight beyond his conviction. If he has no conviction, he's not going to fight that battle like he care about it. But when you're fighting for something, you know, a man wants his country is in danger of being taken over, and he's not going to have it. He gonna kill you if you come against his country. But a soldier that's disgruntled, and he don't want to be there, he don't have that conviction, and he'll probably get himself killed or hurt, or get others killed or hurt. And if he live, he probably didn't kill the enemy like he should have. But when you love your country and you're fighting to protect it, you have conviction. You fight like David. It's the same thing in this spiritual war. I stated earlier that the Lord evaluates everything. Some people can't receive some information from you. Don't let it bother you. If you're a minister, don't let it bother you. That's just the way it is. But the Lord can give you what they can receive from you. And some things that are just too important for them, and they'll hear it. But the Lord evaluates everything. When you speak, when you speak His word and you love His people, you can get the job done anyway. Now, people are just like plants. They're just like Joseph's brothers. They can grow. They may be jealous of you today, but if they grow up, they'll stop, you know, they'll stop being jealous, and you'll win your brother. But at the end of the day, we need each other to be on the same page. We need to walk in love with each other. So when people can't receive from me, it don't bother me. It's just the way it is sometimes. And if it wasn't for Satan, they probably would. The course of this world is indifferent to God. It's opposite. So as you go forward in life, you know, I pray for people. I'm a priest. Jesus said that we're kings and we're priests. So when I run into problems, if people can't receive from me, I don't take it personally. I pray to God to send somebody they can receive from. It doesn't bother me because I'm dead to sin. And I got the joy of the Lord. I don't need people to believe in me. I believe in Jesus and I do what He say. How could I go wrong? How can my words fall flat? All the other living prophets that prophesied, that walked the line, their word stayed alive. And it never looked like it until now. All the things that Isaiah prophesied, nobody could figure it out. Nobody could decipher it until Jesus came. That's when it started. That's when it made sense. The whole nation, they didn't understand His writings because they were so off track. But Jesus came to fulfill those writings. So if I'm looking to Jesus Christ, if I live to honor my Father and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, if I honor Him with my life, if I keep looking to Him and growing and taking on His word and living it in my life, My eye is single and my whole body is full of light. That means also simultaneously that my ministry will be full of light. The anointing that's on my life, I'll flow in that anointing, which gives me God's ability to do the heart of His will. I won't get jealous of people. And I won't be offended at people that are jealous of me. And I'll stay true. My whole being will be full of light. And my advice to my friends and family will be full of light. And my guidance will be like God's guidance. Because I learn from Him and I'll do what I see my Father do. I'll say what I hear my Father say. I'll speak the words of my Father. And as long as I'm looking to Him and not just the distractions of this world, my whole body will be full of light. My actions will be full of light. My love will be like His love. And this is where we need it. God's love needs to be expressed correctly. But when their eyes not single, they have a love for God and also a love for the world somewhere. And that's going to be leaven in their being, in their body, in their ministry, in their persuasion, in their advice, in the way they carry themselves. So, as a minister, I learned to be patient with God's people. And years ago, I used to notice a pattern. When God first called me to the ministry in 87, in the 80s and early 90s, I didn't minister much. I didn't really start ministering a lot more till around 2000. And I would minister maybe two or three times a year, sometimes five or six. And in the 80s, after a church I was going to split, we met, some of the ministers met in the house, and we took turns ministering. I ministered a lot in those days. And one thing that I learned when I went to Refuge Temple, it was a holiness church in North Birmingham under Bishop Bonner, good man of God. But I learned they had our church, every church has something good about them. If they are Christian at all, there ought to be something good that they have. And one thing that Refuge Temple had going for it, it was some good teaching there. And also, it had a strong worship service. And that was a strong point. Every church has its own strong point. And it ought to. Even the churches that most time people focus on the negative too much. But every church that God has, something ought to be strong about it. And if you're looking for trouble, you can always find trouble. But I learned to look for the good in people. Jesus, in Revelation, he talked about what they had that was right first, and then the things that he had a problem with, he talked about that too. And you can't, what I'm saying is, you can't just harp on the negative. Build people up where they're strong. They fought a war to be strong in one area. If that's all they got, thank God for that victory. And then the things that are not wrong, we need to correct each other in love. Say something. Don't be afraid to say something about what's wrong. But do it according to the guidance of the Holy Ghost and the love of God. We need constructive criticism, because every church, we all have something that's not there yet. As a man of God and as a man, period, I endeavor to grow in the Lord. And I'm sure that there are things that I haven't even thought about dealing with yet. So whatever the Lord brings to my attention, I try to deal with it. If I notice something wrong, I try to deal with it. Jesus said, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if there's something in me that's hindering the process, I want to know it. And one thing I started doing, I started confessing that I love God's will, and everything that's not like God has got to go. I started saying that a few years ago. And I noticed that I have less tolerance for things that are wrong. Times I may not have said anything. Things that I control. If it's not of God, it's got to go. If it's not God, it's got to go. I don't want it. And whatever he bring to my attention, it's got to go if it ain't of him. And if it's of him, I want to understand it and get a strong grip on it. Things that ain't doing me no good, why would I want it? I never smoked cigarettes. So if that was my thing, I would be saying, it's got to go. Because I know it's darkening, it's ruining my lungs. And I have a goal in mind. I want to live healthy as long as I'm on this earth. Now, with all that I've just said, when I would go in the Lord's presence, I would learn things. And the enemy was trying to destroy me. He gave me all kind of thoughts. He tried to aggravate my life every way he could. And I knew that other ministers go through the same kind of situation. So my strategy was to give people as much information as they could so they could stand. And then I started noticing that people that, not all ministers, not all pastors did this, but some, I noticed a pattern. If I preach somewhere, the Lord will use me, and he'll use, sometimes it'll be, to me, it'll be mighty, and sometimes to them, and they would never invite me back. And I started realizing they felt like I preached better than them. I don't even like saying something that stupid, because we are God's people, and every child of God can be a blessing. And you know, those that they love their people, they don't leave their post, they walk the line. And the Lord never told me what was happening. He just let me run into it. And I started seeing patterns. And I started realizing what was happening. And now with some pastors, they were not like that. They would invite me back. And they didn't treat me like that. And it used to bother me. Not because I took it personal, but if you take time and study, and you go in the Lord's presence so you can give people a message that's going to help them, and then people don't, you know, it bothered me that people could, that anointed people could treat another anointed person that bad. Now, with that being said, remember Joseph's brothers, they were so jealous of him, they hated him. And they were going to kill him. And Reuben said, let's not kill him, let's put him in this ditch. And he was going to rescue him and take him back to his father when they wasn't around. But they sold him into the hands of the Ishmaelites before he could get back. Now, they went from hating their brothers, being on the verge of being murderers. But when he was in, they saw how their sin hurt their father. And they began to grow. And it came to pass that the same brothers who treated him so mean, they vouched for him. Judah was willing to stay a captive and let Joseph go back to his father. And not Joseph, but Benjamin. Because Joseph loved Benjamin just like Jacob loved Benjamin, Joseph's brother, just like he used to love Joseph. And he thought that Joseph was dead, and that all of his brothers grew up. Now, every child of God, if they really love God, they will grow up. They won't stay the same. And I don't hold people to their past. But for the sake of those who are, I'm saying these things because I know that others face the same problems. In life, because people grow in different stages, people don't grow at the same rate. Sometimes people get the idea that when a person is a Christian, they're exactly like Jesus. But Jesus spent time with his father. He grew in every way a man can grow. And he was the Word of God. He knew. He didn't have a sin nature to struggle through. But we do. So in life, not only are people going to rub you the wrong way, treat you unfair, be jealous of you, be envious of you, and act on it, they grow in stages. It's inevitable that we do people the same way. The same way that people act against us, we do the same corrupt things against others until we grow up. Now, these are not popular things to talk about. I'm speaking these things on this part of the website because I know it's a mature audience. on the radio, people that in every stage of life are listening. But this section of the website, I'm doing this in God's order. He'll send the people that he want to hear this. Because he brought it up in my spirit to talk about it. And I don't these are not things that I normally teach. Unless people are mature. We all grow in stages. And as long as there are, until we deal with certain things, some things are just not going to be done right.